your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Yes, I'm going to ask you to stand. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Now, when I was here last year, I preached from Romans 10, but this is not the same passage. Amen. So, in case some of y'all wrote that in your Bible, I didn't want to think I was preaching the same thing. Amen. Though it was good then, I mean, it's still good. It's still the truth. Amen. Well, Romans chapter 10, I want to begin in verse 9. Romans 10, beginning in verse 9. The Word of God says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the sweet time of worship we've already enjoyed together. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to continue to worship through your word. God, as we walk about this text, I pray that it would please you to preach it to us. Would you just dismiss me and move me out of the way? And Lord, you preach. We want to hear from heaven today. And God, I pray it would please you to preach to the end that somebody might get saved this morning. And Lord, we want to be sure that all the praise, honor, and glory goes to Jesus. In his name I ask, amen. You may be seated. Some time ago, I was traveling and I was flying into an airport there and I had to rent a car. And at that time, I was under the impression that the smaller the car, the cheaper the price. Now, I've since found that's not always true. Nonetheless, I reserved a smaller car because I thought I would get a better price. And so I go to the counter and they have my reservation. And lady tells me, here's your keys and here's where the car is. And so I go out there and she said, now listen, when you pull out of the garage, there's going to be a security person there to check you out, and if there's anything you see wrong with the car, you be sure and tell them there before you leave. I said, okay. So I go out and I find the parking spot, and I'm thinking about what this lady said, that I should look at the car and make sure there's nothing wrong. And so I walked around it. That's about all it took. I opened the door and put it on. And I started heading for the exit. And I got to the exit. Sure enough, there was a security person there and says, everything okay? I said, no. They told me that I should tell you if there was any problem. And they said, what's the problem? I said, there is way too much man in this car. That's a problem. Since then, I have found out that you can actually ask what cars are available. This helps my program a whole lot. I've found out that you can ask, and sometimes you can get a better deal on what they call a midsize, which is still pretty small, but what they call a midsize, you can sometimes get a better price. So it's just amazing to see, but I learned that the hard way by driving around in what I was wearing. And so my point is this: sometimes you just need to ask what's available. And I am fearful that many of us walk in this life and we fail to look to the Lord and see what's available to us. And so for just a few moments, I'd like to take this passage and walk about this text and let's find what's available to us today. Because I don't want you to miss anything that's available to you. Amen? Amen. Now, y'all don't shout me down. Amen. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him dead, you shall be saved. The first thing that's available is salvation. God has made salvation available to whosoever. That's what it says in verse 13. He has made salvation available to whosoever shall call upon his name. Now, we find in Acts chapter 16 that there's Paul and Silas. They've been in jail. They've been praying and singing, having a revival meeting. God moved in a mighty way. And that jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" I don't know if you're asking that question, but I'm going to tell you what's available in the area of salvation for you today. And not just for you, but for whosoever would call upon his name. What does it mean to confess and believe? Well, let's talk about what it is we need to believe in order to experience salvation. First of all, we need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, Jesus is the Son of God. There can be no question about this. And I want you to know that there's nobody in heaven, nor will there ever be anybody in heaven who doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God. We also need to understand that he came fashioned as a man. I like the way one preacher said, God stepped out of heaven into the dressing room of Mary's womb and came forth fashioned as a man. Amen. That's how it happened. There was no man involved, but the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed a young girl named Mary who had found favor in the sight of God, and she conceived a child with no human help. And that child was born the God-man. If you go to Philippians 2 and it tells us he was fashioned as a man, he counted it not robbery to be equal with God, yet fashioned as a man. That's a picture of an outer garment. One commentator said that this fashioned as a man is like, I really don't go to fashion shows. I've seen a couple on TV maybe when I was passing by looking for a football game. But I understand that a model will walk down a runway in an outfit and they'll go back to the dressing room and come out in a different outfit. Would I be close to right there? That's the amen. That's the picture that we get of Jesus. He's still God, but he put on an outfit of flesh. So he was completely God and completely man at the same time. Now, some of you are wondering if I could explain that a little further, and so I want to help you, okay? Here, I'm going to help you. He was completely God and completely man at the same time. Did that help a little? Here's what I want to tell you. Some things we can't explain, but we come believing. Come on now. You got to believe that he's the Son of God who came fashioned as a man, but not only fashioned as a man, he lived a sinless existence. I've had people look at me when I've tried to talk to them about Jesus and say, "I don't believe Jesus was sinless." I said, "Oh?" They said, "When he went in the temple and he turned the money changers' tables over, he sinned because he got mad." For which I say, that's not true. He did turn the money changers' tables over. He did get angry, but he didn't sin. He had a righteous indignation. And I would to God some of us would have some righteous indignation about that which is wrong and unacceptable in the sight of Almighty God. We've got to believe he was sinless. Friend, Jesus, if Jesus is not sinless, your salvation's not good. Because I could have gone to the cross and died, and you'd still go to hell if you were trusting in me. That's right. And in case you're wondering, so would I. Yeah. Even though I deserve death, I earn it with my sin, my death doesn't bring me salvation. But there's one, praise be to God, the Lamb without spot nor blemish. Jesus is the Son of God, came fashioned as a man, lived a sinless life, and upon living a sinless life, he went to the cross of Calvary, and on the cross of Calvary, he stretched out his arms, nails pierced his hands, nails pierced his feet, a spear pierced his side, a crown of thorns pierced his brow, and all of the suffering that he endured was right there on the cross. Listen to me. And the most painful part was not the nails.
Nor was it the spear-pierced side, nor the crown of thorns on his head. But the worst part was that he who knew no sin took your sin and my sin and the sin of the world to the cross. And God the Father looked upon him and he saw his only begotten sinless son bearing your sin and mine. And God, listen, God poured out all of his wrath against sin on Jesus. And Jesus, my Lord, that's good right there. And Jesus hanging on the cross, shedding his life's blood, enduring the wrath of your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. He paid the price. My Lord, he paid the price. There'll be nobody in heaven who doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And there'll also never be anybody in heaven who doesn't believe he paid our sin debt on the cross. Jesus Christ shed his life's blood because of your sin and my sin. And it was his love for us that took him to that cross. Oh, to God that we would understand. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says this, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried. And that he rose again on the third day according to scripture. What does it mean to believe to salvation? You believe he's the Son of God. You believe he's sinless in this world. You believe, listen, you believe that he died for your sin. But friend, you also got to believe he was buried and he rose again. 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us what the Apostle Paul said, herein is the gospel. As I had it delivered to me, I deliver it to you. He died on the cross. He was buried and he rose from the dead victorious. He lives. He lives. He lives. Thanks be to God, Jesus lives. What do you have to believe to be saved? That's what you've got to believe. That's what you've got to believe. You've got to believe he's the Son of God. You've got to believe he was born of a virgin. I love what that preacher of a day gone by that we love so much. So here in Tennessee, Adrian Rogers said, if you don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I don't give you a half a hallelujah's chance of going to heaven. I'd just like to say I'm not Adrian Rogers, but I sure agree with that. Because if he's not the Son of God, he couldn't live a sinless life and he couldn't pay the price for our sin. But because he is the Son of God, born of a virgin, because she was overshadowed with the Holy Spirit of God, he came and lived sinless existence and died so that we could have life and have it everlasting and have it more abundant. And he rose from the dead on the third day. And so if you want to be saved, that's what you got to believe. The Bible said in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is. If you don't believe that, you're not going to heaven. But the word doesn't just say believe, it also says confess. It's not just saying it. There's plenty of folks who'll say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, amen, so does the devil. I believe there's a God, so does the devil. It's not saying there is a God. It's not saying there is Jesus. I believe he was a person who lived. No, you gotta believe he's the sinless Son of God. Hello? You've got to believe that he died for your sin and rose from it. And when you confess it, it's not just saying it, but listen to me. It is saying it because it is a conviction in your heart. Now, I tell you, I've been working on the sermon. Amen. Lord, my wife tells me if I get more than one sermon on my heart, I preach them all. So y'all be careful just a minute. But I'm preaching this. I got this message. I haven't preached it yet. But it's on conviction. And here's one of my points. Conviction will get you in trouble. Amen. Yeah. I wish I had an hour. Hey, listen to this. Conviction in your heart will drive you to respond. And we must believe Jesus is the sinless Son of God, born of a virgin, died on the cross, and rose from the dead with such a conviction, our mouth cannot help but express it.
So what does it say in verse 10? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. We live in a world who thinks they are righteous. You know, the more folk I witness to across our beloved state, do you know the biggest problem I'm having is I have to help them get lost before they can get saved. Well, I'm good as you, preacher. Great, that'll get you to hell. I'm not the standard. But we live in a day where the church, Lord help us, we live in a day where the church of Jesus Christ has lost some of her conviction and doesn't stand as strong, and we look a lot like a lost world. And so the lost world can't tell a difference. With the heart, man believes to righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be able to stand upright in the presence of three-time holy God. And I got news for you. None of us can. Except through Jesus. And so with the heart, man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What does it mean? It means you got to believe it. Thus your mouth confesses it, and salvation is available. Friend, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, believing he's the sinless Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for your sin, and rose from the dead, today's your day. Amen. You just need to say, yes, Lord, I believe. And I confess you as my Lord. I surrender myself. I repent of my sin. I turn from my wicked way and I turn to the Savior. Amen. Amen. Salvation's available. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to go to hell. I said you don't have to go to hell. But unless you come by way of Jesus, you'll go to hell. Amen. Salvation's available. That's good right there, isn't it? Amen. I might just take a lap. That's good. Amen. Listen. What's available? Salvation. But notice secondly. In verse 11 it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Listen, not only is salvation available, but today available to us is shamelessness. Shamelessness. The Bible said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Notice, first of all, that would tell us we're not going to be put to shame. My. One of these sweet days, I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to judge me on what I've done for him. Because I've already settled the other issue that I'm getting in. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Amen. He say, I believed and confessed. Thus, I do not expect to ever be put to shame because he saved me. You see what I'm saying? When he talks about there in Matthew 25, separate the sheep and the goat, I'm with the sheep. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, listen, let me just ask something. If let's just assume for a minute, I've got some papers here, and I do. And let's just assume I had everybody's name on one piece of paper, and I know this is going to be far-fetched because I'm going to make it just one sheet that would have all the sins you've ever committed on it. I'm going to need something about this side. Anyway, amen. And if I should read those aloud, would you be ashamed? I want you to know, if you did that to me, I'd be over in the corner curled up in the fetal position, ashamed. Wouldn't we all be ashamed? Now imagine for just a moment we've gathered with everybody that's ever lived. And King Jesus stands up, and he's got a stack of papers. Has your name on it, and all the sins. Just imagine he was going to read that. Out in front of everybody. Would you be ashamed? I would, but I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus gets up to do that, that's what my sheet looks like. Oh, there's something written on that one. I'm sorry. There we go. Nothing. It's white as snow because I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're not going to be put to shame Because Jesus bore our shame on the cross. He didn't just pay our sin debt. He paid our shame. He paid our guilt. Let me say, we're not going to be put to shame, but can I just be honest? That I imagine in the crowd this morning that the majority, probably the overwhelming majority of you, have had a moment where you ask Jesus in your heart and you're serving him, you're a faithful follower of him. But I'm going to tell you what I find. I find that even in circles of those of us who know Christ, that the devil is still a liar and he loves to remind us of our sins, shortcomings, failures, and shame us. See, too many of us who know Jesus won't tell anybody else about Jesus because they knew who we used to be. Or they may bring up something and I'd have to admit, yes, I've taken part in it, and it would bring shame on you. Ladies and gentlemen, my sister sang it today. Glory to God. Thank God I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. And so when the devil reminds me of those sins and it brings shame, he does that to neutralize you. He does that to paralyze you so you will not speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the greatest testimony you can give to a drunk, if you're a drunk, is I used to be a drunk too. But Jesus. Hello, is somebody here? Come on, that's what I'm saying. If you can testify what he's done, it's not a shame, but it's a victory. But some of you sit here today paralyzed. Paralyzed. Because the devil has shamed you. Listen to me a minute. Jesus died on the cross for your shame. Quit walking around in it. Well, I'm just ashamed. Hey, friend, listen, if Jesus has saved you, quit walking in your shame, because what you're saying is his crucifixion wasn't enough to take my shame. Praise be to God. I'm glad he didn't just forgive me of my sin, but he took the shame of my sin too. I'm not proud of any of that sin, but I'll tell you what, I'll tell you, he delivered me from it. The Bible said, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. We're not going to be ashamed, and we're not going to be put to shame. I just say to you today, if that's you, and maybe you're not serving the Lord, you're not working for him, you're not involved in his work because you're ashamed of what you used to be, that's the devil lying to you. Step up and be who he created you to be. No shame. Praise be to God. That's good right there. Hey, you know what's available? Salvation. You know what else is available? Shamelessness. But let me tell you something else that's available. Sustaining. Sustain. He will sustain you. Look what it says in verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, let's just take a moment. You know who the Jews are, right? Everybody know who the Jews are? The rest of us are Greeks. All right, there you go. You got that? There you go. The Jews and the Greeks, or the Gentiles, okay? The point is, when he says Jews and Gentiles, he's talking about everybody. And he said there's no difference. Now, this is hard for our Jewish friends because they believe in a religiosity and a righteousness that comes as a result of their religiosity. Yeah. So the more religious they are, the more righteous they are. Amen. I'm glad we're not like that. God help us. Well, I just did some good works. Well, great. That'll get you to hell too. Good works won't get you to heaven. And I don't do good works to go to heaven. I do good works because I'm going to heaven. Is anybody here? There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And so we find the Apostle Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to remind people that God loves people. So it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is or what your bent is or where you're from or who you are. He loves people. So the Bible said, for there's no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich. Well, amen. I said the same Lord over all is rich. Amen. Let me say it again. The same Lord over all is rich. What seems to be your problem? Our Lord is rich. We don't serve a poor God. We don't serve a beggar God. He's rich. What does that mean? He got plenty. You've heard somebody say someone was filthy rich. Have you ever heard that terminology? Well, if you were trying to talk about the Lord, he'd be disgustingly rich. So you don't understand, he doesn't just own the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills they're standing on, the dirt underneath their hooves, the rocks underneath that. Does anybody hear me yet? He's rich. That means he's got plenty. And he's rich unto all that call upon him. Do you understand the significance of that? Available to you today is everything you need. I didn't say everything you want, but everything you need. So, some of y'all back here, well, I just wish the Lord had. I was driving over yesterday and I saw on one of those big billboards that the lottery up to 800 million. I can't hardly even say it. There's so many words there. Some of y'all are like, well, if the Lord would give me that, I tell you, I'd just give and I'd be generous. No, you wouldn't. He can't trust you with what you got. How could he trust you with that? Well, the Lord would just give me $1 million. Well, why don't you try to give him $1 million? Lord, I'll preach on tithing if we need to. Amen. Listen, hey, he's rich unto all God. That means there's not a need in my life as his child. You know why I'm his child? Because I believe and have received salvation. Hello? I'm his child because I don't live in shame. I live in salvation. And because I'm his child who doesn't live in shame, because of my salvation, I'm his. I got two boys. Hold that thought, because I am coming back. I got two boys. Since I was here last, both of them have gotten married. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, talking about the lottery, I won the lottery in daughter-in-laws. They are wonderful. Praise. I'd have started with them had I known. I'm just kidding. That's a sort of, well, anyway. But I've told my boys, said, "No, boys, you know, I've raised them to be independent, provide for their family, provide for their wives, take care." But I've said to them, "Now you get in a pickle, you call your daddy, because if I got a dollar, you got a dollar." Hello, hey, and I wasn't kidding. And so one of my sons, especially, is taking me up on it. I'm just kidding. But when they call with a need, I'm going to help them. If at all possible. If I feel that way about my sons, and I feel that way about my daughter-in-laws who have become a part of my family by marriage, how much more? Does God not feel that way about those of us he bought and purchased with the blood of his son? Amen. What seems to be your problem? You got a need? Call on Jesus. Come on, you got a need? Call on Jesus. Well, my need's awfully big. Well, my Jesus is awfully big too. And the Bible said he's rich unto all who call upon him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we serve a mighty God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think or imagine according to his power that works in us. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Just call on him. Lord, I've got a need. Just call on him. I wish I had time to tell you some stories about how I called on him and he just showed up. I wasn't looking necessarily. I was praying and I was hoping. And when I least expected, he just showed up. Have y'all ever had that happen? And when he showed up in power.
When he happened, he showed up and had exactly what I needed. What seems to be your problem? Hey, friend, all of this is available to you. According to scripture, I'm just reading what the text. Don't look, I'm just a paper boy. I'm just carrying the newspaper here today, and I'm telling you this is what the Word of God said. Salvation is available. Shamelessness is available, and the sustaining work of God is available. Just call on Him. I said, just call on Him. All of this is available, according to verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm so convinced that He'll do what He says. I believe that He can save the atheist and the agnostic. I said, I believe He can save the atheist and the agnostic. I believe He can save the blind and the belligerent to truth. I believe He can save the corrupt and the crooked. He can save the doubter and the drunkard. He can save the educated and the evildoer. He can save the fake and the fallen. He can save the grumbler and the greedy. He can save the harlot and the hellion. He can save the indifferent, the ignorant, the illegal, and the illegitimate. He can save the joker and the jester. He can save the king and the knucklehead. He can save the loser, the lawless, and the lonely. He can save the madman, the mean, and the misunderstood. He can save your neighbor, and He can save our nation. He can save the obscene, the oppressed, and the ostracized. He can save the prisoner, the prideful, the pretender, and the possessed. He can save the quack and the queen. He can save the religious, the reluctant, the rejected, the repulsive. He can save the sinner and the sophisticated. He can save the traitor and the transgender. He can save the unbeliever and the unclean. He can save the vicious and the violent. He can save the witch and the worthless. He can save the X-rated and the exhausted. He can save the zealot. I'm just convinced He can save whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And what will He provide when you call on Him? He'll provide for you the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, a bounty of blessing, cleansing, deliverance. Oh, you may have some difficult days too. I said, you're going to have some difficult days too. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But the good news is, He said, I've already overcome the world. So you all right, just hang with me. Available to you is eternal life and eternal destiny with Him. Forgiveness of your sin and the faithfulness of a Father. His grace applied to you. Heaven thrown in for good measure. Praise God. Indescribable Jesus. Inseparable love. Indestructible relationship. Power. Quickening from death. Resurrection. Sustaining strength. I'm telling you, it goes on and on and on, the list that He provides when we call on Him. Amen. So what seems to be your problem? Amen. This morning, if there's never been a time in your life that you asked Jesus to come in and forgive you of your sin, you said, Lord, I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn from it. And I want You to be Lord of my life. For there's never been an occasion where you've asked Him to save your soul. Today's your day. Amen. Today's your day. You say, well, preacher, what do I do? You just walk this aisle. Take this preacher by the hand, take me by the hand, say, I want Jesus. We understand what you mean. I was preaching at a church out in the, well, I'd tell you where it was, but you can't get there from here. I had to parachute in myself. And that morning, a young girl walked the aisle, Pastor. She was going into the ninth grade. And she walked down there and grabbed my hand. And she said, I need Jesus. I understood what she meant. And so I just opened the Word and shared with her what I just shared with you. She said, I want to repent of my sin. I want to invite Jesus into my heart, believing in His death on the cross and that He rose from the dead. And that morning she asked Jesus into her heart. Praise be to God. She's already been baptized and walking with the Lord. Amen. You can do that today. You don't have to go to hell, friend. You can go to heaven. But you got to go by way of Jesus. And so if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, today's your day. Today, some of you sit here today and you say, Brother Rock, I'm a Christian. I'm already a believer. But you've been neutralized by the shame in your life. Amen. Friend, you ought to come to this altar and just lay it down. Amen. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell your pastor. Look,
We don't have any nail scars in our hands. We can't take your shame. Oh, but I know one. I know one who can. And the Bible said, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Would you come and just say, Lord, I just want to lay this shame down. Maybe today you say, well, Brother Rock, I'm saved and I'm not neutralized by my shame, but there are some needs in my life. Call on Jesus. He is rich unto all who call upon him. My little mother, she taught me so very much, and she taught me that verse of scripture that said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. That's a good verse, amen?
Amen.
And as she was nearing the end of her life, she didn't know she was going to die, but the older she got, I would sometimes remind her of that verse. I'd say, well, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread, like I'm telling my mother something. And you know what she would say? You never will. You never will. Because his word doesn't change. If you got a need, he's got the answer. He's got the provision. He's got the help. Call on him. Well, Brother Ronk, I prayed about something and it didn't work out like I wanted it to. Okay. What's the problem? Can I tell you where that happens mostly? I'm trying to get finished. Let me tell you where that happens mostly. I prayed for so-and-so to get healed, and the Lord didn't heal them. They died. Friend, if they knew Jesus, they got the healing. I said, they got the healing. Quit crying about that. They better off than you are. You prayed for healing. He gave them the ultimate healing. Well, I don't like to look at it that way. Well, you wrong. Bless your heart. Get right. Quit living wrong. Get right. My point is this. When we call on the Lord and we offer our need, he knows our need before we even ask it. And when he provides, his provision's always sufficient. I don't know what your need is. Won't you come give it to the Lord?
Amen.
And instead of telling him how to fix your need, I said, instead of telling him how to fix your need, just say, Lord, here's my need.
Amen.
And go ahead and admit, I don't know how to fix it, because truth is, you've probably been trying. Isn't that a shame? Those of us who believe Jesus, how often I go and say, Lord, I've already tried and I can't get this worked out. And I'm sure the Lord just shaking his head like, oh, Lord, how'd I get yoked up with him? Don't you have more faith? That's what happened with the disciples. They're on the boat, you remember? Jesus went back and took a nap because he'd been preaching all morning. Every preacher needs a nap on Sunday afternoon. Anyway. he's sleeping and the storm come. They come back there and said, Jesus, we're about to perish. Man, life. Life is on the boat. Ain't nobody about to perish. But isn't that just like us? King Jesus walking right beside us. I'm in such trouble. He'll help you if you'll call on him. So whatever you need today, King Jesus is in the house. He's made available salvation,
amen,
shamelessness, and sustaining you. Just call on Jesus. Father, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who has moved in this place. And God, I pray that it would please you to continue to move. God, that you would draw somebody to yourself that doesn't know you. Lord, for that man or woman or young person who's never accepted you and asked you to be Lord of their life and confessing their sin and confessing you, Lord, I pray today would be the day. Lord, I pray you would deliver somebody that's lived in shame. And I pray you'll provide for those who have a need. God, this is your invitation. And I just pray you'll take and divide it unto yourself, and that Jesus will get all the glory. In his name I pray. Amen. Very quietly, would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing together.